Agudat Vach, just want to mention, somebody once came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe wanted him to stay and discuss something. So he said, Rebbe, if I don't get home in the next 5 minutes, my wife is going to storm into this Beis HaMedrash and start screaming. So the Rebbe said that he now understands that the Gemara says, as we just heard, that Noshim b'may kazachi, what are the women zaycha? The schar and the rewards and nati legabrayu, they wait for their husbands to come home to from the Beis HaMedrash. Because really she could come to the Beis HaMedrash to scream, you just told me. But they wait for the husbands to come home until they get it. So for that, she said she gets a tremendous reward. The other nekuda that I heard about Rebbetzin Elyashiv waking up together with her husband. So you know that her husband, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, I think Amda Al Data, used to wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning. They said all the people that were giving the names after Rebbe Elyashiv, Yisr Shalom, stopped because the babies would wake up at 2 and they would cry until the morning. I don't know if that's true or not. But this story I know is true, because I heard it from the Rosh HaKoyel and Tarvei Das of Label Williger, who heard it from Rebbetzin Elyashiv. That the Rebbetzin used to wake up at 1 a.m. to prepare his coffee. And it took a whole hour, because this is Yerushalayim, and there's a, in those years, and there's a kerosene stove, and she had to brew the coffee beans and milk the cow, I don't know exactly, whatever it was. But it took an hour to make a coffee. And when she went at 2 o'clock, she went to sleep and he woke up. Shpachlal is a good thing for Shalom Bayis anyway. But anyway. She never missed a night. And once her friends, her daughters, bought her a present. And the present was an amazing invention called a thermos bottle. And they said, Mama, you can make the coffee instead of from 12 to 1, you can make the coffee from 8 to 9, go to sleep, and you just have to teach Tati how to open the top of the thermos bottle. And she said, absolutely not. And she told them to take it out of the house. So they asked, so what's wrong with a thermos bottle? So she gave three reasons. First of all, she said she doesn't want any of the moderna new gadgets in her house. Never mind the touch iPod, right? She didn't want a thermos bottle. Second of all, she said that she wants to have the schus of her husband's learning. She wants to physically be involved in an hour of the schus of her husband's learning. And the third thing she said was, this is what I heard, she said, she used to call him Mein Rav, for whatever reason. As Mein Rav weist, if he knows that I'm up for an hour preparing the coffee, he wouldn't dare not wake up. This is my guarantee that he wakes up. You understand? I passed by a jewelry store in Flatbush. There was a big sign that says, "We sell wife insurance." That's what it said. This was her cough. This was her husband's insurance that he wakes up, that she's up for an hour doing the cough. You have to understand that we're talking about a time period where, when they got married, she, of course, was a daughter of Arya Levine. No, I did not intend to think you're speaking about this, but what you hear is Ashkach. She was a daughter when they got married, so their Sheva Brachis, they were in a tiny little area that was sectioned off from the very small apartment to start with to be their apartment. And Sheva Brachis, so, you know, today there's this grand breakfast that comes in the morning, right? To, I don't know what the minig is in Pesach, but in Bar Pockets, minig avisaini biadaini, it comes from the Maril, I don't know, from Avraham Avinu, from Noyach, I don't know. That the morning of the Sheva Brachis, you order a royal breakfast comes from, if there wasn't enough expenses on the Chasana, so you get this on your credit card also. That's to say, it says, Oyd Yishama, Ba'ari Yehuda, V'chusus Yerushalayim, right? It says, Kal Sosam, Kal Simcha, Kal Chasam, Kal Kala. So it says, what's the Kal Chasam? Does the chassan have a different koil than a kala? Like then he's a chassan, he has the same voice before or afterwards. So there's a vibe from the bells are up. Now he doesn't say it this way, but this is more or less what he means. You know what it's like? The chassan comes home the very first morning, right? He just put on the talus for the first time. He said, Barchi nafshi. And the world is his. And he walks in and his wife is all made up and she smiles and he smiles and she smiles and he says good morning and she says good morning. And they say good morning to each other so many times already, you know, that she feels like saying, if I wanted to marry a parrot, I would have. But and they're each smiling so hard that their cheeks are hurting. And then this breakfast comes and, oh, your parents are so nice by the wedding and your parents. And it was such a nice wedding. And it was such a nice. And they're sitting there. And she forgot the salt. They both jump up for the salt. And he sneezes and she runs to the tissue. And he says, excuse me. And this, he ends. And finally, he benches and he gets up. He can't wait for this thing to be over. And... you know, it's all laying there, all the potato blintzes and the cheese blintzes and the exotic cheeses and everything else. And he starts putting the garbage together to take it out. And she goes, no! No husband of mine is ever going to take out the garbage. You sit a la toira of ala voida. Anyway, fast forward a year later. All right, she's holding the baby. He walks in. She goes, where were you? I have to get to work. What is with you? I just schmoozed you. Oh, you were schmoozing. That's great. You're schmoozing. My boss is going to scream. I got a punch. And he opens up the refrigerator. It's not a luncheonette. Let's go. Move. Go outside. And she's running out. And she's screaming from the window. Tell me, you're blind. You tripped over the garbage. You didn't see it? So we're mispowel that the Kol Chassan and the Kol Kala should kind of stay. You know what I mean? That's the way of talking. But that's not so easy, because we live in a very complicated world. And as life goes on, it gets even more and more complicated. So how do you keep yourself cool? How do you keep yourself calm? Chazal tell us, the Pasuk says, B'kudei Hashem Yisharim, Misamchei Lev. But what does Misamchei Lev mean? Misamchei Lev is a poel ayotze. It means not just that you're happy, that you have a kayach to be misameyach those around you. A mem at the beginning of a word when it's not part of the shayrish, so it means to project from one person to another. So I'd like to share something personal with you tonight. I was not a very good learner when I was a bach. Today I would have been diagnosed with AD, with the entire ABC from A to Z. I was in a hat store before Pesach, and they were like calling out, and this lady was saying, she was giving out the hat, she was looking at the initials. She goes, YA is here? You know, I go, yeah, Yosef Aronoff. He goes, ADHT is here? Poor guy, you know, his name was Avram David Hartstein. But really, I really couldn't focus. Now, if I understood the Gemara, when I got it, I got it. But it took me a very long time to get it. As a matter of fact, when I was in third grade, pardon, don't mind me, my reminiscing is just therapy for me. When I was, it's a lot cheaper to give yourself therapy, by the way. When I was in third grade, so the Rebbe, I'm not going to say my Rebbe, the Rebbe had three rows. There was a row for the Mitzionim, there was a row for the Beinonim, and there was a row which was called Goylem's row. I was in Goylem's row. Okay, I didn't think, it just took it as a natural. I was in Goylem's row. You know, that's the way it was. It wasn't as bad. Somebody once told me that his Rebbe said that your father's even greater than the Maral. He said, why? He said, the Maral made a Goylem that couldn't talk, and your father made a Goylem that could talk. So I really shouldn't complain. Anyway, so one day I come in, and they were fixing a light in Goylem's robes. Aeneas Buster, Aeneas Buster. So they're fixing a light in Goylem's row, and the Rebbe told me to sit in the middle row for now. I didn't chop, it was because the electrician was there. So I was thrilled. I was promoted to be a vanity, just like, you know. And then when the electrician finished the light, he told me, you know, back to Goylem. And I sat down, and I came home, and I told my parents, this is already Purim time. And I told my parents that I thought I was out of Goylem's row. Then I saw it was only because of the light. So it was a shtickle disappointment. And my father, Zechon Lebracha, his reaction was, tell me again. So I told him about Goylem's row, which I never told him beforehand because it wasn't a geya. And then I told him about the thing. He didn't say a word to me. He just said to me like this. You're the only one that could decide if you're a Goylem or not. If you make up in your mind you're not a goylem, you're not a goylem. No one can tell you what you are. 2 weeks later, he took me out of the yeshiva, and this is what he told me. He said to me that there's a new yeshiva that opened up and they need boys, so I want to do them a favor. He never said, ah, chutzpah, how dare you. He said, I don't want to make you a victim. Because once you get into the victim's thing, then you blame everyone for your problems. I wanted to get you out of it. They told me later what he did, which I think is a Mari to Gisled. Anyway, so I can never really focus very long time on one thing, as you hear in this speech. Now, anyone here remember Camp Kar Vidas? Anyone? Okay. Well, don't give away your age. So I'm in Camp Kar Vidas. I'm a Rebbe, mind you. And my dream was to be part of Color War. I mean, that was so badly my dream. Because they always had a flair for plays and acting, and I was like, and they offered me to be, I don't remember, lieutenant general or something. And I was so thrilled, you can't imagine. And I went to the Mashgiach Zazayin Gesund to ask him about the Color War teams, which teams for Color War. He used to help out with that. That's why in Camp Tavidas, they were like, it was Malchus, Nevuah, as opposed to other camps where I was in, it was Lekach and Bromfin, the teams. We had a more of a higher level of it. So I remember I was 17 and a half, maybe 18 years old, and I asked Mashgiach what he thinks the Color War team should be. I mean, this wasn't usual. Usually there were the Rebbeim and the Masmidim and there were the counselors. I was like jumping lines. So he said to me, what do you have with the Color War? With Color War. So I told him, Lieutenant General. So the Mashgiach looked at me and he said, I don't know. 3 days, no learning, no davening, no eating like a mensch, no benching. Yeah, you're a chassidus shabach, you'll soon be in shidduchim. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. And I want to tell you, when he said those words to me, my jaw dropped, and like my stomach, I couldn't catch my breath. This was like he just took the thrill out of my life. And I said, no, but I want to do it for chizik to be mechayim. I want to add the rabbi. I want to raise the level of it. And then he said to me, you could do whatever you want. And walked away. But of course I had my answer. And I officially resigned from the running of being lieutenant general, which was a very difficult thing for me to do. And for a 17 and a half year old baby, it was probably the most difficult thing I had to do in my life up until that point. Little did I know what's still coming, but anyway. And I remember I sat down in the Beis HaMedrash and I cried. I'm embarrassed to say I cried. Literally, there were tears falling from my eyes. I felt like you just took the everything that I was hoping for and everything, and I was so upset. And of course, the way he answered, he didn't allow me to argue with him. He said, do what you want. I knew that if I do what I want, I'm not really doing what I want. And I opened up a Mishnayis. It was above a Kama Mishnayis. And I started to learn. Now, not that I hadn't learned till then, but... And I knew that for the next 3 days, I'm not leaving the Beis HaMedrash. Because there's no way I could watch these guys in their full thing and I'm not part of it. It would just be too painful. And if I'm sitting here anyway, I also didn't want people to come in and ask me, where are you? And I started learning Bava Kama. And I remember I was learning the Mishnah and the Vatanura and the Tosfos Yom Tov, and I was looking up the Rambam, and I remember looking up the Yam Shel Shloima, even remember which Mishnah was, it was Shor Shel Hegdish, Shor Shel Yisrael, Shnach Shor Shel Akim, Yam Shel Shloima has a whole thing, if you're allowed to be Mishana this, if it's because of a Sakana, he says you're not allowed to. And something opened up in my heart, in terms of learning. And I understood, aha, so there was a little sacrifice on my part. And when you sacrifice for learning, things open up. My father used to share the story with me. Friday was the yard site of Ramat Chiafi, who was the Baal HaLevushim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes him often. The Baal HaTanya said that his Pesachim are accepted in Shemayim. Why did he name his Svarim Levush? Levush Malchus, Levush HaTeres. It's because he was a businessman. He was always a Talmud Chacham, but he was a businessman. He was very handsome. He was dressed in Malchusic clothes, and he walked in, and he was doing business with a certain very rich woman, who suddenly locked all the doors, and she made advances toward him, and he was facing an assignment of Yosef HaTzadik. He looked for a way out. The only way out was a sewage line. The very rich people had some kind of sewage system, but there was no, it wasn't a system with water. So it was really a pipe of raw sewage. And he dove through it. He dove through it with his fancy clothes and tunneled through this, gagging and thinking he's not going to make it. When he got out the other side, so suffice it to say, it was hard to find the dry cleaners that was going to take his clothes. And he parked himself in a besmedish to hide because she was a powerful woman. She was scared she would do what Eshes Potiphar did and so on. And he said he started learning, he felt an insight that he never felt before in his life. Into Torah. That's why he named all of his Svarim Levushim. As a matter of fact, the Yileinu L'Shabeach brings that a man came to the Chazon Ish and asked him, he's about to do a Shidduch with his son, with his daughter. He says, the Bacher seems to have Alamailas. You know, he's handsome, he's good, he's a Masmid, he's a Yerushimayim. I don't know if he said it in that order. So the Chazon Ish said, what's the problem? So he told him that the boy's a handsome boy and his father is like a nice guy, but he's like the ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life. He's like three, four, a long nose, and the kid is like, I don't know, how could it be? I don't know, I'm doing genealogy, but it could be the kid is adopted. How do I know it's Yichus? Maybe they're saying it's his son. So the Chazon Ish said, it's the Einikol of the Levush. They say, yeah, he mentioned to me that the father mentioned to me he's the 10th Dar of the Levush. The Chazon Ish said, do the Shidduch Ruya Gehait, that the Levush was Mespalel, that for 10 doyrois, his children should not be good-looking so that they shouldn't face the same Nesai. So mitzad is genes, the kid is okay. It's just that he's the kid is the 11th dar, so it's going back to nature. That's all. He said, it's fine, you can do the shit. Now, toward the end of Color War, I did this Peirik and Bava Kamma again and again, and I decided to record it. And I recorded it, yes, on one of those tape recorders. I don't know if you know what that is. They were like these cassette tapes. It was like this thing and it had two holes inside and babies get a hold of it and they pull out the tape over the whole house. And had an Einikol of mine in the house. He found one. Wee! He goes, how does he know to do that? Wow, okay. So now, after the summer, for whatever reason, I gave one of these tapes to Eli Teitelbaum. I used to be friends with him, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he listened to it, and he gave me some, things. It just went into one of his drawers, and zero. Fast forward a few years later, I'm married. Ellie starts something called Dial a Daf. And he did it with such mysterious nefesh, you can't imagine. The technology was not there. Home computers were not available yet. There definitely was no system. There was no program for it. He created it himself. He had like 30 tape recorders, one on top of the other, with like 100 phone lines that he manually connected in, and it was like this, and he started it. He started it against all odds. And when it first started, it was a big thing. It was the first thing you can call into and actually listen to the shiur. And I used to, on the way home from night call, I would stop by and schmooze and talk. And one night, the first cycle, I witnessed this sight. A yid walks in, not going to say who, and he says, you gave me Perik Elu Megalchin? He says, yeah, because I'm giving out Perik at a time. He says, that's the Avelus Gemara. So I said, what's wrong? It's a bad simon. Bad simon, so we should skip it. No one should learn. He said, no, I want to take the entire Masechtis Mayid Katan. If I take the entire Masechtis Mayid Katan, then, if I can just trouble you, I'm sorry. Water? Sorry, being Shtam Shul Tam Chacham. I would look for someone that's not a Tam Chacham, but there's no one here. There's no choice. Everyone fits the bill. Shkaif, thank you very much. So this is what the man tied. The man tied it that if he gets the home Masechta, so Behavlah is going to do it, like Schar Shabbos. Behavlah is going to do it. So Eli told him, other people are working on the other Prakim. Why should I take it away from them? They're working hours and hours. So he says, you don't give me the whole Masechta, I'm not doing it. And he turns around to walk out. He threatened the wrong person. He says, so walk out. He says, the daf has to go tomorrow. Go out. He says, I'm walking out. The daf has to go tomorrow, so I'm going to walk out. He says, so it's a Gaishan. And he left. What are you going to do now, Rabbi Teitelbaum? And he turns to me, he says, Shechta. And he mentions something about this Mishnayos tape, and he says, do this daf. Me? Yeah. So first I was like, wow. And then they said, wait a second, if this is a hot potato, the Avelus Gemara, what are you throwing it on me for? So I ran then to the Rech B'Shrivka Rebbe, like 2 o'clock in the morning, he was still seeing people, and I said, I have this opportunity. He said, do it! I said, is it a bad thing to do Hilchas Aveh? Chas V'Shalom, he said, every Inyan in Torah is only bracha. No such thing. Hilchas Aveh, Hilchas Pinyan Petach Amar, Hilchas Chanukah, it doesn't make a difference. Torah is only bracha. So I said to him, but I think the Chassam Sofer fasted before he started learning Eli Magalchen. So he told me the Chassam Sofer fasted before he learned Eli Treifus. You know, anyone that fasted before he learned Eli Treifus? He had his Inyan that he fasted. Nothing to do with you. Do it, is the least of your problems, he says. Go do it. So I went home and I did it and redid it and redid it and redid it. And I did that daf. It was only supposed to be one daf until he finds someone that could do it. And I did the first daf. And then he said, do the next daf. And I wound up doing the whole peirik. And then I got into the regular rotation. So I just think to myself how my whole life changed at that moment. But it was only because of that Mishnayis tape. And that Mishnayis tape was only because of the color war. And I could have very well said, well, the Mashgiach told me I could do whatever I want, right? And I could have been so excited about being the star of those plays. And I wouldn't have known what I missed. Do we understand that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us these flashes that you join something and you're part of it? So one of the things I was careful about, because I am very not good, I'm good with subjective, abstract reasoning, but once it comes to math, or calculate, Gemara's that calculate things, forget it. I mean, I was petrified, Erevin, I handpicked my Yevamos, I was very careful what I picked. And once I blew it, I took a Perek and a Sechtes Erechen that looked Geschmack to me, and I missed one Rashi, I forgot where it is, but the Gemara talks about the Yemei Ziva, Yemei Nida, and the Toyois, and if you mix up the Yemei Ziva and Yemei Nida, and I missed that Rashi. It's a whole long Rashi. And I looked at it and I said, this is Menishgit. I said, there's no way I could figure this out. I remember that Gemara from Kyle. I just went, weep, yeah. Skip the page, you know. Another story, there's a Maggid here and he's learning with the Olam. And the other guy comes and says, tomorrow we're making a scene. What are you talking about? We have another 50 blot to go. It turns out the Maggid was using an Archgold Gemara. This guy was using a regular Gemara. The Maggid turned 3 pages for the same daf. But he kept turning daf, you know. Anyway, so I went back to Eli. I said, no, I can't do this staff. He says, then you have to give up the whole peric. I says, I worked hours in the peric. He says, you have to give up the whole peric. He says, you don't understand. I can't do it. He says, you're reminding me of that guy. I said, that guy had an attitude problem. I can't do it. He says, you're doing it. So the next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, I walked up in yeshiva, and I locked the door, and all I had was my Gemara and a pen. And I tried to work it out. Now, you may ask, why didn't I just take an art scroll Gemara? There was a very simple answer. There was a chronological difficulty. It wasn't made yet. Then they had the red Cincino Gemaras. You need 16 dictionaries for every word. That was not going to help me. Now, the next thing was, why didn't I listen to the tape? Ah, I couldn't listen to the tape because I was supposed to make the tape. I sat there from 9 o'clock in the morning straight to 9 o'clock at night. If you would have said one of those stories, I used to hear those stories of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that he sat down at night because it was a Tannis, so he said, I may as well learn by night and sleep by day, and he wound up learning the whole 24 hours. I said, you know, Alice in Wonderland, you know? And all of a sudden, I was sitting for 12 hours, you understand? Because with enough motivation. And at the end of the 9 o'clock, I closed the Gemara, and I can tell you that I did not understand one word. The next morning, I opened up the Gemara again. It's 2 days I left my chavrusa downstairs, and it came 9 o'clock again. Now, you know, yes, there were people in Torah Vedas that could have asked me to sit down and work this Rashi out with me, but whatever the block was wouldn't have helped if someone explained it to me. There was no way I could explain it if I wasn't toifus it myself, and the information was not going into me. And I was there for 2 days in a row, 24 hours, I'm serious, 12 hours. And in the 24th hour, it clicked into place. It's like a gift. It says, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim, he was loymid v'shecheyach, ad shenitnu loy b'matan. You have to be loymid v'shecheyach until the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you the gift. And it clicked into place. And I was very excited. I came home, and I was happy my wife didn't come screaming in the shul. And I came home, And I recorded the entire night. I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. The baby slept in the thing. Every time I got excited about a Gemara, the baby would wake up. It was Gishmak. It took me the entire night to record it. And I listened to it in the morning, and I said, people are not going to understand what I said. I said, I have to feel what it was like. And I redid it. And at the end, I got it into 55 minutes. And I got the ultimate compliment from someone. A very chash of Yid and Magid Shir, he said, I heard your Shir. Wow, it was very good. He says, it looks like the whole thing took you like 50 minutes to do, like from Chazara, everything, just, 50 minutes. I want to tell you what scares me, that if before this happened, if you would have come over to me with a Sefer Torah, and you would have said, hold this Sefer Torah, and I want you to give a Shvua di Araisa, that I am not capable of understanding this Rashi, not to mention to teach it. Okay, we don't do Shvuas, even ala emes. But let's say there was no such Chumrah, I would have had no compunctions, I would have no reservations about it, to take this Sefer Torah and say Hashem's name, and say, I swear, that I can't do it. And I would have thought it's true. There is something that changes in the dynamics of Limud HaTorah when you have an achrayis to others. It's different. There are inner kaychais within you that come out that under normal circumstances we don't have. Esther stood there and she's Vatilbash Big Day Malchus. And right afterwards it says, Vatamayt Vachatzar Beisamelech Apnima. It sounds a little strange. Isn't there a pasuk missing in between? Where did she put on the Big Day Malchus? It should be Vatilbash Big Day Malchus and Vatelech, and she went. She puts on the Big Day Malchus and she's suddenly standing there. Woof! What happened? She was beamed in? Remember my father, as Chaim Lebracha said, when he first came to America, never saw an elevator. He was in Manhattan, the door opened up, saw a little kid skip in, the door closed. A minute later, the door opened up, an old man walked out. He said, I don't know about America. In that machine, I'm not going in. In a split second, how did she go? Where did she wind up here? Says the Imri Emes, she's walking in. Esther is walking in, and she's very, very frightened. She's very scared. She says, "What? The whole future of Klal Yisrael is in my hands." She's overwhelmed with a fear that she can't even walk. It says she was about to faint. And she says, you know what? It's not my job. It's not my job to save Klal Yisrael. That's the Rabbanu Shlomo's job. My job is to be Maaser Nefesh myself. Vatilbash Big Day Malchus. She says, Rabbanu Shlomo, this is what I can do. Whatever happens, now from this point and on, I'm in your hands. You open it up for me. And once she made that ultimate Maaser Nefesh, so Vatamayt Vachatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis, she's standing inside. You know, Haman comes to Mordechai, and he sees Mordechai is in the middle of davening, in the middle of learning. He waits for him to finish, and he goes over and he wants to tell him about the news. But he has to schlep him around. Since when is Haman so makbid not to be mafsik someone in the middle of davening? Why did he wait? Says the Chassam Sofer, because if a Yid davens with simcha, if he learns with simcha, according to one medrash, he wasn't davening, he was learning with the kids. He says, limud ha-Torah to others, but simcha creates such a schus, forget it. He knew if he gives Mordechai good news as he's learning, he doesn't have a chance. At least let him wait till he's finished learning. We live in a world where we can't do it on our own. You think about the political situation, the chaos that America is about to go into now. We understand what's happening over here. If we understand the ballistic missiles, you understand, I was listening right on the way, North Korea said that they're going to make a surprise attack on South Korea. I don't know how you announce a surprise attack, but I don't know. I guess I don't understand everything. Do we understand what's going on in this world? Do we understand the personal pressures that people are going through in their lives? I was an 8th grade Rebbe for many years, and I used to save the notes, and I would on Purim, I would read them. And I would read them on Purim, and the two best notes I saved. One note was a kid says, Rebbe, I woke up, I went to Davin, I came to class, I sat down, I opened my Gemara, and then I realized it was all a dream. So how did I know to wake up if in my dream I was here? And that was his story. And the other note I had, I still have it at home, it said like this, and it was true. It said, please excuse Shloimeh for coming late. His grandmother had a baby. He had to stay home to watch his aunts and uncles. That's what it said. So I said to myself, it was talking that way. Do we realize that the pressures people are taking care of two generations and their parents and the money? If we leave it up to our own vices, we're finished. When you join a chabura and you're part of something, whether it's daf hayomi or it's daf hashavua, which gives you a chance to actually learn. I don't mean to, as a pun on daf hayomi. It has its own brachas. When you're part of it, and you have that koyach of Torah b'tzibur, what you're doing is, you're doing of a tilbash Esther Malchus. You're saying, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, I'm doing mine. I'm a makabal all of all Torah. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, yes, ma'vir mimenu al Malchus v'yol derech eretz. And the Emerson looking at this Olam tonight, and Olam came in from Muncie, from here. It's. I really thought it would be Daf Hashul. I don't know, I thought it would be 10 people, 15 people here. I just, the koyach that Klal Yisrael has when we merge, when there's a koyach of Torah and Tefillah B'tzibur B'Ram. I'll tell you one more story and I'll close with this. I hope. I had once a difficult class. It was a difficult 8th grade class. And it was right after Hurricane Sandy. Someone suggested that we should go down to Far Rockaway and with the class and help someone dig out. And this was a class that was good. It was good for them. Good experience. So I said, fine. But I was concerned about one individual, which of course I will not use his real name, call him Yossi. And this Yossi, I said, was very impulsive, and if he's in the wrong mood, the wrong thing's going to happen. I said to Manal, can we take him? He says, you can't leave him, so we took him. We came to this house. The house was yay high in water, the basement. The water was rancid. It was foul-smelling, and he said he has tefillin and svarim there, and he even says he had a chasen shas that he bought, and it's laying over there. And the boys danced to different things, and they jumped in, and they were bringing things up. But after a while, somebody that was there, that was monitoring the air, said, Adkan, no more, we got to leave. And this Yossi, that hadn't learned the word all year, was very into it. And we figured out, we had all the Gemaras and the Shas, except for the Kiddushin Gemara. We were learning Kiddushin that year. And he wanted to go down and look for the Kiddushin Gemara. We said, why? He said, no, he wants to. Okay, so the guy told him one more time, but that's it. So he dives in again, and he's not coming up. We're petrified. He lifts his hands as if to say, wait, give me a minute. And he comes up with the Gemara. He finds it. And you can imagine what this Gemara looked like, smelled like, after all these weeks, or days even. And he says to the owner of the house, can I take the Gemara with me? So the guy says, what do you need it for? He says, can I take it? He was like dead serious. So he says to him, I don't know, I need it for the insurance adjuster. He says, the insurance adjuster is not going to know the Kiddushin Gemara. So he says, take it. The next day in class, the door opens and in walks Yossi with this Gemara. Because we had to open the windows and the air conditioning. And he refused. He was up a whole night, like separating the pages to the best. And he learned this Gemara. He became a changed kid. And he kept saying, I was in the dumps, and this Gemara was in the dumps. I was in the mud, and this Gemara was in the mud. And I took the Gemara out, and the Gemara is going to take me out. It's a different world. It's a different world when you're committed to a Seder Kvua. And you know what? Amid Yaimi, Dafa Yaimi, Dafa Shvua, it doesn't make a difference. It's bashared how many times you have to finish Shas in your lifetime. And if you're learning Dafa Shvua, guess what? You'll just have to live 7 times longer. Palm always used to say, kids that know that their father belongs to a chabura, kids that see it, they have a different look at their father. The entire world changes. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that entire world should continue to change, that we should all be zeichet to that, the Tilbash Esther Malchus, so that we are transferred to the Vatamite, the Chatzar Beis HaMelech. A good time.